So Martin, why don't you tell us how you became involved with Lipa and what's your functions?
Well, I run the music department here. I'm head of music, and I've been here for 15 years. I oversee all the courses and a lot of the links with the industry and stuff, sort of designing the courses, managing the team, and just sort of putting the overall direction on music here at Lipa.
Now, what is the music department like at Lipa? I mean, what is the curriculum?
Well, those are two very different questions. What's the music department like? It depends what you mean. It's pretty rock and roll in the office, I can tell you. We've got a lot of people from the Liverpool music scene, so it's pretty vibrant. It's pretty edgy. And the second question was about the curriculum, wasn't it? I think the curriculum reflects the team that we've got. I mean, we've got most if not all our team have got a long sort of career in the music industry with hit records, of managing bands, producing bands, performing. We've got several sort of like, 80s rock stars who've kind of come over, 80s and 90s rock stars. Some even our singing teachers have had like three top 10 hits in the 90s and stuff. So that feeds through into the curriculum. And the courses are very industry focused, very much about creating new music, very much about sort of just encouraging people to find themselves and get out and make a career for themselves in the music industry and in the music world.
Now, when I talked to Alexandra, she had mentioned that all the bands that were in the Tube Extra show, the concert series, are students in right. Lipa. And now that's a pretty diverse group. So it makes me want to talk a little bit about what you had talked about earlier, with it being, you know, like a rock and roll type attitude, you know, in the music department. It, to me, and more, it sounds more like a free thinkers group.
It is pretty free thinking. I mean, it's interesting that we put on, I don't know, 35, 40 minute sets over 9 days, you know, loads of bands. Every song that was played was original, right across different genres from, you know, we really do encourage all writers to just start to mind their own talent, to mind their own interests, and just to find out who they are and find out what they want to do. And we build the course so it works. We kind of pack it around them, you know, like, who do you want to be? What do you want to achieve? Let's go and help you do that. So, I mean, in that sense, I suppose it is quite free thinking. Although we do, you know, we take the students' terms of reference, so that if they want to succeed in sort of like a straight up pop world, we've got a lot of experience in that, so we can guide them as to what they want to achieve. So we do work within, you know, industry limits. It's not just art for art's sake. There is a lot of that. But we're deadly serious about making careers as well. So, you know, we sort of combine the two.
And a lot of every act that has been in the showcase that I've seen so far just oozes professionalism and creativity. And I'm assuming that with you running the music department that they're all your students. So, I mean, job well done, man. I mean, I can't... you know, give you enough props for that. I mean, serious. They sound so professional, so tight, so well rehearsed, mm-hmm. and you know, just they have a grasp on their own originality. Every single one.
I think they are professional. The standard is enormously high, and I think that starts from, I think it's gone down a little bit since the UK government introduced fees 2 or 3 years ago for students here. But we were getting a few years ago about 35 applications for every place on the course. And the standard, so it's quite tough to get in terms of trying to get a place on the course. We build the course so that it works. So we take just enough drummers, just enough bass players, and we take the best drummers, the best bass players, the best guitarists, the best singers, the best writers, the best producers that we can find. We throw in a few kind of sort of, you know, for want of a better description, crazy instruments as well. We take, you know, we try and mix it up. We just create this big melting pot, and let it rip. But the other thing that we do is, as part of the course from day one, we cut a slice of the course that says, this is for you. This is what you want to do in your career. So if you want to be in a band, you form a band. If you want to write songs professionally, you write songs with a professional focus, as well as doing all the technique, like learning scales, like learning your instrument, about learning the craft of songwriting. From day one, we get people working on their careers. And as I say, we build the course around them to support that. So by the time they get into the third year, and they're looking to graduate, and they're going on that stage and broadcasting out on the Tube Extra Festival, they've been working at it for 3 years, and they are at a professional level, and they've really started to hone their craft and hone what they're actually taking out into the world. Yeah.
Nice. So it's a mixture of learning music, music theory, everything that entails, plus honing your creativity.
Yep, I mean we do all that music theory stuff. They've got to have a certain level before they come in, and we drill it into them in the first year, so that nobody goes out of here without being able to sort of write a lead sheet for a song. Nobody goes out without understanding music technology. Nobody goes out without understanding the music business. Nobody goes out without understanding having a real level of skill on their instrument or on the voice. And so we teach a lot of technique, but in the first 2 years, but then we just put that technique right behind what they want to achieve professionally, what they want to achieve artistically, and then try and focus that, as I say, so they can get on and get careers. But again, as I say, we start that in day one. As soon as they get here, we start focusing on the careers.
Now, as a prospective student, because you know, I remember when I was at that transition from getting out of high school to picking a college, you know, yeah. I was nervous. I didn't know what I wanted to do. I didn't know how I wanted to do it. I just know I wanted to continue my education. So I'm assuming that LIPA gets a lot of that, and even the music courses get a lot of that. Now, how do you help the prospective student make the choice?
Well, I suppose that's a tough one, but I think we, in terms of making the choice, we for popular music courses, we are one of, if not the most popular choice for students. As I say, it's probably the most competitive course to get on in the UK. So they're making that choice. Unfortunately, we have to make the choice for most of them, so they don't get it.
So you're going to get mostly the students that have already made the choice on their own then.
Yeah. I mean, occasionally, you know, some people choose to go elsewhere for other reasons, such as wanting to stay closer to home, or they may have a band in a hometown, whatever. But most people that we offer a place to take up that place and come along. You know, as I say, the problem is kind of a massive oversupply of people who want to come here. But I don't know. I mean, I think the way the courses are presented, I think the way LIPA is presented as well, and the way it works, in that you've seen the Tube Extra Festival, all the students working on the lighting, all the people working on the lighting are students, all the people on the front of house sound, all the people on the video, the vision mixing, the mixing the sound for broadcast, the front of house, it's all run by students. And that's such a creative environment. That's such a kind of collaborative environment. And I don't think anywhere else in the UK, possibly Europe, I'm not sure about the States, but pretty much nowhere else offers that over this side of the Atlantic. So it's a pretty exciting place to come to. And if you add into the mix, there's actors and dancers and designers in terms of costume and stage sets and all that sort of stuff. It is pretty, pretty exciting.
And I was just talking to Alexandra about this earlier. The production quality of the Tube Extra shows was every bit as top notch as the artists. I mean, it looked like a broadcast network special event.
Do you know, they do an amazing job. And I think tried to get this going a few years ago. It took us a little while to get it up and running, because it's hard to do that with students, because students come, students go, you know, you're working with a different crew every year, and to try and build that continuity so you're getting a professional quality is very hard with that transient kind of crew all the time. But I think what they achieved in terms of the quality of the broadcast, the quality of the sound, was pretty outstanding. I would say it stands up next to what BBC Radio 1 throw out, and even some of BBC TV. I think it stands up against that. So, yeah, we're absolutely massively proud of what they've done there, yeah.
Oh, yeah, I was comparing it to, you know, the MTV VMAs over here.
Okay.
I mean, yeah. It was that level. I mean, the video quality, audio quality was spot on. There were no dead spots. You know, the studio looked professional. I mean, every aspect was covered. I mean, I couldn't congratulate you guys enough on it. I mean, it's that good. So.
Yeah. Thanks very much. I mean, what you probably know as well as the Tube Extra Festival that we do a regular stream, which is the Tube, because it's spelled with a two, over there you might pronounce it the Tube, but you may know this, but what we're trying to achieve there in the 80s on BBC, on Channel 4 over here, there was a program called The Tube with Jules Holland, and it broke Madonna in the UK, it broke REM in the UK, and it was new live music every Friday at 5 o'clock, and we run a weekly gig, which we stream, which is The Tube. So what we're trying to do is get new live music back on TV, but our way of doing it is to get it back on internet TV in the first instance. So we're aiming high. We're aiming to sort of like break new music, to put new music content up there for young people to watch. And just, you know, so we are aiming high. We're aiming for professional standards. So, yeah, but as you say, I'm very proud of them. Yeah.
Nice, nice. Now, what do you have in store for The Tube? Because when I see The Tube, I see that, you know, everybody over there is expanding it, like it's growing. I mean, so what are your upcoming plans for it?
Well, as I said, we do the weekly Friday 5 o'clock till 7 o'clock, which was the old Tube. And if you don't know the Tube, you should check it out. There's some great footage of the best bands in the last 30, 40 years on there, on the internet from the old Tube. So we do the regular showcase. We invite the industry down. We stream it. We're taking it to London in about 3 weeks' time, and we're doing a big industry event there. And we're putting up a load of bands, taking 10 bands out there. We're aiming to stream more often, bring in more bands from Liverpool and the north of England to start breaking new music. And we're looking for partners. We're looking for sort of internet and TV partners to try and, as I say, get this on a regular basis, pumping out new music every Friday. We don't have the capacity to do it every Friday at the moment in terms of streaming it, because we're working with a student crew, but we want to grow that. So we're looking for other partners to try and help us get that new music on a TV. I don't know what it's like in the States, but in the UK, there's not much happening. And there's so much talent, particularly in Liverpool, particularly in the northwest of England. We want to put that out.
Oh, it's really bad over here. So, yeah, there. I mean, like, I was just telling somebody this morning, I wish we had what Lipa was doing over here. And we don't. We have, I mean, everything is basically up for grabs. We're a giant cowboy town right now.
Right.
So, I mean, you know, I would love to set up something like this over here. I just don't know if we have the resources to do that in what we're already doing, you know?
Yeah.
But, you know, like, we love what Lip is doing. That's, and so we're giving you all the publicity we can give you. I mean, that's what, I mean, because we love it that much.
Brilliant.
You know, I hope somebody over here in the U.S. hears and sees what you're doing and does something like that here. I mean, because that would just make going to college so much more fun.
Well, yeah, and it's easy these days to hook up as well. I mean, one of the projects right down the line, if you like, is you may not know, but the motorway that goes from East Coast to West Coast is called the M62, and we're working on this idea that we can link up Liverpool with Manchester, with Leeds, and with Hull, and maybe even going across to Amsterdam and Dublin and putting this northern axis and taking bands from each city and putting those up on, you know, and just trying to mix it up that way. And that would be the M62. But there you go. But I mean, I think that northern axis, London's a great place. London's got fantastic music, but the north of England, Manchester, Liverpool, Sheffield, a great heritage in popular music, and we just want to get behind that, and as I say, push out as much new music, particularly from Lipa, particularly from Liverpool, but we want to get that northern axis going as well. And it's these days it ain't too hard to plug in somebody from the US as well. So I mean, there's all sorts of ways in which we can sort of like do live hookups or start feeding bands from somewhere else. But we would be very interested in any collaboration over there as well.
Yeah, well, maybe we can all work something out, because we've got a lot of the technology to do that. Okay. You know? So, but do you think that? You know, you were talking earlier about the UK scene, and the UK scene is just brilliant right now. I mean, it's vibrant and it's varied, which is what I like. I mean, I like it that not one band sounds like another. And mm-hmm. we're in the US, I hate to say, because I love it, you know, the contributions that my country's made, but right now it just seems a little stagnant, you know?
I don't know. I mean, you're hard to beat the States in terms of, you're still top of the world, aren't you, in terms of, artist success, market share. You're really hard to beat. But the UK, for our size, we've always done really well. And you're right, it is diverse. It is such a creative mix. You know, I mean, I think we've got... one thing that you don't have, we've got the BBC Radio 1 and BBC Radio 1 Extra, which just pump out new music, and they put out so much new music that commercial radio don't put out. I think there was a statistic that sort of your average commercial station here plays 80% of what you get. BBC Radio 1 plays 80% of what you will get on commercial radio, but commercial radio only plays 20% of what you will get on BBC Radio 1. So there's this massive diversity that's going on that the BBC just really supports. So I think that contributes to the diversity as well.
Well, do you think one thing that begs the question is, do you think that, like, well, let me rephrase that. I've always seen it as the US and the UK kind of wrestle for the most influence in the music scene. Like, when the US has it, you know, the UK doesn't. Then the UK grabs it and has it for a few years, and it's just back and forth. Do you think that the UK is poised to make a giant splash on the music scene again? Because that's what it's looking like.
Do you know, I don't know. I wouldn't know about that. I mean, from our perspective in Lipa, and I'm not just avoiding your question there. What I'm going to say is that I think there's something very special going on here, because we've got students from all over the world, and Liverpool is a massive melting pot as well. And we've been putting out talent into Liverpool for the last 10, 15, 20 years. And I think the musical diversity in Liverpool, and when you start to see the track record of the bands that we've broken, some of them whom you know, the Staves, they may not be big over there, but they're massive over here, the Wombats, Sandy Tom, number one album, and loads of other artists. And I think there's a real kind of momentum gathering, certainly from Lipa and Liverpool. So I can speak from that level and say, yeah, something is about to happen here, because it's viral and it's spreading. As for the UK, I don't know. Sometimes our tastes diverge. Sometimes stuff makes it over here and just doesn't in any way get across the water. So I couldn't say on that.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. But we're getting more submissions from the UK. We're getting more UK submissions than US submissions now.
Really?
Yeah. I'm deadly serious. And, you know, with all due respect, like I said, I'm an American and I've got nothing but the utmost pride for the music that my country's put out. But right now, let's face it, it's nap time over here. you know, I mean, it wasn't like that a few years ago. It's just now, like in the middle of the decade, like if you come over here and you stay here a few years, you'll see this too. The middle of the decade, the US music scene kind of rests a little bit.
Mm. I mean, I don't know. I mean, what you do have though is the massive names and a massive corporate sort of muscle. So, you know, it may well be that just that the UK scene is that much more sort of small scale. I think a lot of the punk ethic is still sort of here in terms of people doing it themselves and just getting on with it, you know. But I think you guys make a splash just because you've got that size and that power behind you. So, I mean, you know, from a UK perspective, a lot of our music still is US based, you know.
Yeah. So. Now, do you think, you know, kind of a side mark to that question or to that answer, do you think that the major labels have as much of an impact on these artists now that they did 10 or 15 years ago?
Yeah, probably more so. Yeah.
So, because what I'm wondering is with the age of the internet and with programs that Lipa are putting out, it almost seems like they don't need the labels. You know, they don't need to get signed or they don't need to have big management to make it big. They can do it on their own with the tools that you're giving them.
You can. I mean, and there's a lot of stuff over here to help you do that, particularly, again, BBC One, Radio One, BBC Introducing, BBC Six Music. There's a lot of support for new music over here. And, you know, if you build a fan base, the industry will track you down. But it still seems that if you want to make a real splash, you probably still need the big companies.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and also it should be noted too that we have BBC over here. And so, yeah. So we see a lot of the programming that you're talking about. I see on a regular basis a lot of the programming that you're talking about, like you know, later with Jules Holland, things like that. Because we have BBC America,
right?
You know, which is BBC with commercials, basically. So,
right. Okay.
Yeah. So you know, but so I mean, when they get on that show, it's a global reach, and and BBC Radio outsources a lot of their original programming after it's done, so they syndicate it.
Right. Okay.
You know. So you'll hear, you know, like BBC Radio shows in Australia, here in the U.S. You know, right. I could name two or three stations in Chicago and Minnesota that play them. You know. So I mean, yeah. So getting on there is a lot bigger than just being in the United Kingdom.
Okay, I see. Yeah.
So, well, let me ask you this: what does Lipa and the Tube? How do you plan to expand everything? I know we talked about that earlier, but you know, to like we talked about it as a form of publicity. But what about as a form of education to educate these bands and artists as students? What are your future plans?
Well, I mean, that Tube, if you like, is at the heart of that professional strand because we stream it, because we film it, because we broadcast it, because the quality's there. I mean, you can do gigs for years and your friends may get them on the phones or whatever, but when you can start seeing yourself and you know you're going up on the internet and you know there's a potential global reach, you up your game. And when you see the professional level that your peers and the students going before you reach, you up your game again. So it's part of the strategy to just keep driving standards up, to sort of raise the bar, to just go, okay, you've got to be that good. Now get better, be better than that. So, it is part of the curriculum. It's part of our focus. And it is just, you know, like you can see yourself on the internet there performing back, you can see all your faults, you can hear where you're going wrong, you can see where your songs are working and where they're not. It's a great learning tool as well as a great publicity tool. And so it's firmly at the center of what we do in terms of curriculum as well.